come on, come on. Testing one, two, testing one, two. There we go. Come on, keep praising him. Come on. Every praise. Come on, saints. Come on, just press through. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Please remain standing if you're able. What a joy we've shared on today. Isn't it just amazing watching these kids grow up right before your very eyes? I am traumatized at the speed with which children grow up. It is just amazing. When we arrived here 8 years ago, we had one. Now both are being promoted. Amen. And to watch the amen, praise God. Thank you, my sister. Thank you. But the rest, just watching them grow, it makes me want to clap as well. And the word has been pronounced over you. The charge has been given. And we just cannot wait to see what else the Lord is going to do in and through you. I thought you was like 11 years old. I'm trying to figure out why is she giving the senior speech. I thought she was 12. You know what I'm saying? But God is faithful. God is faithful. Sister Carrie Perry, where you at? Sister Carrie Perry, look at here. The Lord is faithful, ain't he? Ain't he faithful? My Lord, today. What a blessing. As you yet stand, would you grab your Bibles or your devices? And if you'll notice again, our wonderful Bible app, if you were to use that right now, you can actually download an electronic copy of the notes. Just click the three bars in the bottom, and it'll take you to events, and you simply click on Greater Bethlehem. You can actually save those to your device. So grateful for Brother Marcus Raven for that. And speaking of that, I saw the Ravens have returned from Chi-Town. Where the Ravens from Chi-Town? Where y'all at? Amen. Praise God. I see you jumping, girl. So at the conclusion of the service, we want to hear from you all as well what the Lord has done in and through you all in Chicago. Daniel chapter 1, I assured my in-laws that I wouldn't preach more than an hour and a half on today. And I give you my word, Miss Bobby, it won't be more than an hour and a half, okay? Amen, amen. It may be an hour. No, it's all good. We're gonna speak to these young people, and I really pray that they are attuned. I'm tarrying because some of y'all are still trying to find Daniel. I understand that. All right. Amen. Old Testament. Y'all ain't laughing much this morning. Y'all all right? We missed each other, didn't we? Was that it? We missed each other? That's what it was. Okay, praise God. Praise God. I know that was funny. Amen. All right, Daniel chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 1 through 7. In the year of the reign of King Jehoiakim of Judah, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon came to Jerusalem and laid siege to it. The Lord handed Jehoiakim of Judah over to him, along with some of the vessels from the house of God. Nebuchadnezzar carried them to the land of Babylon to the house of his God and put the vessels in the treasury of his God. The king ordered Aspenaz, his chief eunuch, to bring some of the Israelites from the royal family and from the nobility, young men without any physical defect, good looking, suitable for instruction in all wisdom, knowledgeable, perceptive, and capable of serving in the king's palace. He was to teach them the Chaldean language and literature. The king assigned them daily provisions from the royal food and from the wine that he drank. They were to be trained for 3 years, and at the end of that time, they were to attend the king. Among them from the Judahites were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief eunuch gave them names. He gave them Belteshazzar to Daniel, Shadrach to Hananiah, Meshach to Mishael, and Abednego to Azariah. And the people of God said amen. Heads about, eyes are closed. Father, we thank you for the simplicity and power of your word. Father, we're asking on today that you speak to us and through us and allow us, Lord God, to walk away affirmed in what you've called each of us to do, which is to stand to be light in the midst of darkness. Father, we thank you for the example of these Hebrew boys and how they demonstrated faith in unfavorable circumstances. Father, we're preaching this word primarily to our young people, but I pray that all of us would lend an ear and hear. Spirit of the living God, have your way in this place. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Let everyone say, amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. We have a video to capture the message.
In school, I found my identity in pretty much what I was doing. You know, I was always a real busy kid. That's football, student council, student government, robotics, you know, academic competitions. When you do have downtime, you don't want to use it to read the Bible. You don't want to use it to pray. You want to use it to sleep, to relax, to, you know, do your fun things. You know, I go to church on Sundays, and it's all great. But I get to school, and that faith is, like, you know, kind of muted. You know, and so I'm like, man, there's like this disconnect to who I am on Sunday and who I am during the week. So yeah, there was a time where my faith was kind of still. Like, I feel like I'm not doing all that I can to really show people that what I believe is real to me. And so I decided, okay, I'm gonna start reading my word daily. I'm gonna start praying in the mornings and really trying to get closer to the God that's allowed me to do all that I've done in high school. One day, I was at school, and I brought my Bible, because I do Bible study during my free period at school. Somebody would ask me, what was I reading? I would tell them, and somebody would ask a question about it. From then, a light bulb turned on. I was like, huh, I can tell him about Jesus. The same thing kept happening every single time I went to class when I wanted to read my Bible. Now I'm in this environment where people are asking questions about the faith, and I need to be able to tell them what the Bible says. Then it got to, they were asking me questions that I didn't have the answers to. I would go home and read them in a book or look them up, and I would explain them to them in words that they could understand. And couple that with prayer and time in the Word, you know, I saw a lot of my free time being devoted to God. I realize why it's important to share my faith and why it matters, because it's true. You know, I feel like we have an obligation to share that. One of them, he said he was an atheist, and he felt like there was no need for a God. So then I saw him shifting from, okay, believing that there is no God, to now questioning, what if there is one? By the time I finished that year, he actually came to realize that there is a God, that God exists. And there was another kid named Colton. He knew about God and he believed in God, but he didn't understand what that meant personally. And he told me, eventually, he said, you know, your class, that woke up my faith. Like, that caused an awakening in my spirit, and I want to thank you for that so much. He felt so inspired that he began to share his faith. So my faith grew because I was digging deeper into my word, and because I was finding these answers to questions that I never had, but now I did have, I began to trust on God a little bit more. And, you know, the reason for my faith became stronger and more personal.
Praise God, praise God. Amen. Give God some praise. Hallelujah. Today's topic is Promotion Day. Promotion Day. Our message moment located at the top of your sermon notes says this: promotions come when we are faithful, available, and humble. Promotions come when we are faithful, available, and humble. One of the greatest challenges for young people of all ages is how to live for God in a godless world. How to live for God in a godless world. I mean, really, how do you navigate through the day-to-day activities of life without coming out looking more like the world and less like the one who saved us from the world. See, it's evident that many Christians have simply given up with living for God. We've given up and we've given in to the world. And as a consequence, many of us look more like the world than the world does. So our young people, when they look at us, they become even more confused because we're supposed to be their example. And all too often, they look for us for guidance and example and direction. And because of our own struggles and refusals to grow, they don't see what they need to see. More than 100 years ago, Søren Kierkegaard warned that the age of the crowd was coming. The age of the crowd. And in such an age, he said, people would no longer think for themselves. But here's what would happen. They would follow the advice that parents give children that are going to a kid's party. Here is the advice that parents give. Look and see what everyone else is doing and then behave like that. And so this is what's happening in our culture. This is what's happening in our world. We're telling our young people, look and see what everybody else is doing and then behave like them. It's the age of the crowd. And you know, I get concerned because I have kids, you have grandkids. And oftentimes we just bury our heads in the sand and we just give up thinking that there is no hope for our children to live godly in a godless world. But see, that's why it's promotion day. Because we have some visual examples of what it means to live in a fallen world for a risen Savior. We have some examples today of young people who may not be perfect, but they are striving towards perfection. I'm gonna need a little help up in here this morning. And so as a consequence, even though the odds may be stacked up against us, we have hope and faith and we know that we can make it. And so we make our way to the text and in comes Daniel and his crew, teenage boys. They were captured by enemy combatants. They were led away into a godless nation. See, a key tool for conquering a nation is reprogramming the captives so that they look more like the master than they do themselves. And so as a consequence, we have these young men who find themselves captive, and as a consequence, the reprogramming begins. But I want you to know something. Even though you're in the midst of a captive nation, even though you're in the midst of a godless world, God expects us to live for Him despite our environments. God expects us to live for Him despite our environment. So King Nebuchadnezzar, open it there. It says, he has captured the land of Judah. In reality, because of Jewish disobedience, the Lord handed them over. That's what verse 2 says. The Lord handed them over to Nebuchadnezzar. And four young men are selected to become servants of the king after they've gone through a process. Look at verse 3. He says, I'm highlighting, bring some of the Israelites from the royal family and from the nobility, young men without any physical defect, good looking, suitable for instruction, in all wisdom, knowledgeable, perceptive, and capable of serving in the king's palace. Stop right there. I want you to see something in this text. The world is always looking and always wants our best. I need y'all to feel that. The world always wants our best. This is what happens. This is why the enemy is after your child so aggressively, because the world wants our best. The world even knows we got the best. That's why they launch attack after attack, generation after generation, family member after family member. Why? Because they know we've got the best. Some of us need to walk around like we know we the best. We need to stop cowering down as if we're already defeated. So the world always wants our best. So they chose the best. And even though they chose the best, they still tried to make the best better. See, the world falsely believes that its ways are better than God's ways. Look at your text. He said, listen, get these young people, and then you're going to begin to pour into them. You're going to teach them the Chaldean language and literature. You're going to give them food from the royal table and give them drink and give them my wine, and then you're going to do some other stuff. The first thing I see is, he said, listen, you're going to teach them. Get that down. You're gonna teach them. You're gonna tell them some stuff that they don't know. You're gonna teach them how we do things. You're gonna teach them about our culture. You're gonna teach them about our literature. You're gonna teach them. See, there's gonna always be some individuals who feels that God's ways are insufficient. And so as a consequence, there's always this reprogramming that is afoot. That there's always, the world is trying to help us to think differently as if God's word is insufficient. I wish y'all would help me here this morning. And so as a consequence to us being reprogrammed, many of us are losing the substance of the very word of God. He said, teach them some stuff. Begin to get into their heads. Begin to get into their minds. But not only teach them, secondly, feed them. Feed them. Give them royal food and then chase it with some wine. Chase it with some wine. I'm going to tarry there for a little while. Chase it. Y'all know what chasing it means. Feed them. See, what's happening in the text is they want these young men to assimilate into the culture. Oh, I need a witness up in here. They want them to start looking like them. And so give them our food. Give them our drink, but not only teach them, not only feed them, thirdly, rename them. Now you may think, man, that's not really a big deal, but what you got to understand is each of these Hebrew boys had names with God at the center of their names. And so what they were doing is they were obliterating any reference to God. So in the renaming, the reprogramming, they were robbing these Hebrew boys not only of their heritage, but of their faith. In other words, what was taking place is he was giving them license to break each one of them down. Now let me pause and tell you something, young people, that is essentially what happens every day of your lives. By the time you leave from under the umbrella of your parents' protection, and oftentimes even before you leave, but the enemy will begin to be intentional about breaking down the substance of your faith. So they'll try to impart some knowledge that is not godly knowledge. Then they'll start feeding you stuff under the table, challenging you to take a sip of this and a puff of that. And then they want you to call yourself some other name. Ungodly names. And then you start calling yourselves by those names. Y'all, I tell you, they're trying to break you down. And if you aren't shrewd and wise enough, you won't see these intentional attacks by the enemy. So Daniel, in the Get It section, he understood what was at stake. It was his witness. And so Daniel was willing to risk his life to glorify his God. Look at verse 8, the A clause. Daniel determined that he would not, somebody say not. Daniel determined that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. Stop right there. All of us should desire
to be promoted. All of us should desire to reach the next level for God, to stand out for God, even when everyone else is bowing. So here it goes. First thing I want you to take away, young people, is this. You got to make up your mind. You got to make up your mind. Daniel verse 8, determined, which means he went into the situation with his mind already made up. And see, what happens to us is because we have a tendency to be wishy-washy, the enemy takes any doubt that we have, any just a little bit of doubt, and he will creep into the crevices of our doubt and cause us to question God. Yo, you got to make up your mind. You got to make up your mind before you leave the house. You got to make up your mind before you hit the campus, before you hit the military, before you even get to middle school. You got to make up your mind. Daniel made up his mind. Daniel was determined to honor God. So Daniel's made up mind was matched with purpose-driven humility. His made up mind was matched with purpose-driven humility. Look at the B clause of verse 8. So he asked permission from the chief eunuch not to defile himself. He knew what was coming. He understood the teaching and the feeding and the renaming. But there was this one area where he was going to stand fast. What I want you to understand, young people, is God notices our desire and our determination to honor him. And so he steps in to balance the scales. Yes, they were captives. Yes, they were at the mercy of their masters. And yes, God's providence was still in effect. And what that means is I don't care how deep you get into the campus life, high school, college, wherever, middle school, it doesn't matter. Elementary, it does not matter. God is still there to balance the scales. He is still there to put his finger on the scale so that you can stand in the midst of persecution. Look at verse 9. It says, God had granted Daniel kindness and compassion from the chief eunuch. So Daniel had trusted his situation to the God who he knew would intervene on his behalf. And as a consequence, God had this eunuch, this master of Daniel, to have a feeling of compassion, hesed, loyal love, and sympathy towards Daniel. Yo, where have we seen this type of protection before? I'll tell you where. It was Joseph in the book of Genesis. Joseph found himself enslaved and incarcerated. And at every juncture of his enslavement and his incarceration, he found favor with the very ones who were punishing him. Y'all, I'm here to let you know, it doesn't matter where you find yourself. You can be on a campus. You can be in your apartment. The Lord is there to make sure that you are protected. I don't want you to feel alone when you leave. I don't want you to feel alone your first day of school. I want you to know as you walk down the halls of your campuses that the Lord is present. So Daniel offers a challenge to the official. He say, listen, man, listen, you're trying to give us this food. And respectfully, I just ask that you not make us eat this food. Respectfully, in all humility. And if you're feeling kind of funny about it, just test us. Even better, Daniel is saying, test God. Daniel's faith was in full force. He knew that honoring God would yield benefits. So as a result, he took a step of faith. Now here's a side note I put in my notes here. These dietary distinctions based upon the Mosaic and Levitical laws, there is an underlying principle for every single one of us. So I want you to understand, this thing is bigger than food in the text. Will you take a risk, young person, to try to live by God's design, which really is no risk at all? Will you even try to live by God's standard? Will you even test it to see if it works?
See, I've been guilty. Amen. We've been tricked into thinking that God's ways are archaic and irrelevant. And as a consequence, we wouldn't even try anymore. And parents, we don't hold our older young people accountable anymore. We let them ride or die, do whatever they feel led to do. And no accountability, no challenge, no biblical intervention. We just let them go. And I'm standing before you as pastor asking, will you just try God's way? Just test it. 30 days. A 30-day challenge to honor God. And see how your life resembles that of Daniel. In this text, see, it's God's desire and design that those who receive the free gift of salvation would live lives of holiness and purposefulness. Please give God's way a try. So back to our message. So when our minds are made up, then we look for ways to maintain our values. We don't look for ways to escape our values. Romans 13, chapter verse 14 says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Here it is. And don't make plans to gratify the desires of the flesh. Oh, I'm coming down your block now. Paul says to the believers at Romans, don't make plans. Don't scheme to sin. Now, we understand some situations may come up and you may slip and fall. Amen, lights and walls. But we got to watch it when we plotting and planning and strategizing. I ain't got nobody looking at me this morning, but I'm going to preach until I feel it. You orchestrating, setting it up. Some of us plan our sin better than we plan our lives. And then we wonder why life has given us what it's given us. Somebody said, make up your mind. Help me preach. Look at your neighbor and say, make up your mind. I'm still in the text. Verse 17, I got to wrap this up. I'm going to be an hour if I ain't careful. So God gave, verse 17, God gave these four men knowledge and understanding in every kind of literature and wisdom. Daniel understood visions and dreams of every kind. I had to cut across the fields because in verses 8, you know, he asked for permission. Verse 9, they go through the testing phase. In 10 and verse 11, it is discovered that they come out looking quite well. And so the guard, he continued to remove the food and all that goes along with that. And Daniel and his boys were looking better than everybody else. So we make our way to verse 17. And it said, God gave these four young men knowledge and understanding. First of all, y'all, listen carefully. First principle is you got to make up your mind. But then the second principle is you have to make room for God. You got to make room for God. You got to make room for God. See, what I've discovered is divine enablement in a surrendered life is a winning combination. Divine enablement plus a surrendered life. Y'all, that's a winning combination. God wants to enable you to do exceeding abundantly above anything you can ask or imagine, but he needs a surrendered life to work with. So these four men were being prepared by Nebuchadnezzar, but in reality, they were being prepared by God. I need you to catch that. They thought they were teaching these young men, but in reality, God gave them the knowledge and understanding that they needed. See, when you make room for God, Stephen Brown, God's going to make the difference. God gave these young men clarity of mind and wisdom to understand. My grandmother used to say, Lord, be a mind regulator. And so what's happening here, because they made room for God, they were able to seek God first, and as a result, God gave them everything they needed.
Young people, he'll regulate your studies. He'll help you with your homework. He'll enlighten your minds. He'll give you favor with your teachers. He'll give you real friends you can count on. You don't have to worry about backbiting folk because he'll be a covering around you. When you make room for God, God will make the difference. I got to make this point. Every night before I go to bed, I go in and check on my kids. Every night before I go to bed, I check on my kids. I go through the house, make sure the door is locked, the alarm is set, all that kind of stuff. Make sure my trusty pal is handy. Just all the stuff I do. And I like walking past my kids' rooms. Whatever they have been playing with that day, they make sure they make room for it in the bed. Come on, parents, help me out. So if Nicholas is working on Legos or whatever, the Legos right there. He makes room for it in his bed. If Simone has her dolls and she's been combing hair all day, the doll with the freshly made hair is right there in the bed. See, y'all, we make room. Need a witness up in here for what's important to us. We make room for those things that we cherish. And all I'm trying to get you to see, young people, is make room for God. And if I want to get real graphic, make sure you make room for God in your bed. You'll catch that on the way home. You'll catch that on the way home. So watch this. You got to make up your mind. Secondly, you got to make room for God. Then thirdly and finally, you have to make God known. I'm finished. 30 minutes in. Make God known. The text is moving. Last part of verse 19 says, no one was found equal. And then verse 20 says, in every matter of wisdom and understanding that the king consulted them about, he found them 10 times. Somebody say 10 times. 10 times better than all the magicians and mediums in his entire kingdom. Make God known. We are responsible to let our light shine everywhere we go. Let me say this another way. You don't have to be loud, just be lit. One of the things that I love to do is I love to go to movies. I go to movies at least once or twice every couple of weeks. I'm going to see a movie. Hey, man, I like my movies. But I notice when I walk from the outside into the movie theater, my eyes have to adjust to the darkness. And so as a consequence, I'm standing there. I can't really see. So I have to wait until my eyes adjust to the darkness. And after I stay there for just a moment, I'm able to see clearly. But then once the movie is over, I come outside and then my eyes have to readjust to the light. God, what are you saying, y'all? We live in a dimly lit world. And if we're not careful, we'll be more concerned, watch this, with adjusting to the darkness, God, as opposed to living like light in darkness. And see, my concern for us, church, is too many believers are dimly going through life. Our eyes are squinting. Why? Because we keep adjusting to darkness. And I'm here to declare, you got to open up your eyes. Stop adjusting to the darkness and allow the light that's in you to shine. Somebody say, make God known. I'm trying to wrap this up, but that's a key part that I want you to understand. When you make God known, a couple of things are going to happen. Number one, there will be no equal. There will be no equal. Y'all, that's a strong statement. Out of all of the captives, watch this, that had been trained and taught and renamed and fed, no one matched those Hebrew boys. There was no equal. And see, in the age that we live now, this is the age of being promoted. This is the age of standing out. See, when you do it God's way, oh God, you don't have to hustle and bustle. Watch this. You simply obey God, and God fights your battles. And he fights them so greatly that there is no equal. Don't worry about being compared to nobody else. You're on a whole nother level. You're above the stuff that's bringing the average person down. But not only no equals, secondly, no limits. Somebody say no limits. No limits. The text is clear. These young men went from being slaves to direct reports to the king. Now, of course, he was a godless king. It was a godless world, but a godless nation. But that's what sets Daniel apart. See, Daniel was a prophet. Watch this, in a Gentile world. Most other prophets were leading people of faith, but not Daniel and his boys. See, they stood in the midst of a godless world. Somebody say, no limits. So when you go to campus, you got to know, listen, there are going to be some people on campus who don't believe like you believe, who don't think like you think, who don't appreciate or value those things that you appreciate and value. And I'm here to let you know, even in that context, make God known. You ain't got to be loud, but you need to be lit. So we'll make up our mind. Make room for God. He'll grant us favor. And I've discovered that favor is given. It is not taken. You can't manufacture favor. It's all about that light. This father bought his son a gift one of his business trips. It was a glow-in-the-dark type of globe. And he got home. He was so happy to show this globe to his little boy. And he opened it up and shared it with his son. But yet there was no glow. And the father was upset. He was angry. I wasted my money buying this glow-in-the-dark globe. And the thing ain't working. He was mad. He stormed out. Then the mom came in and read the instructions. And the mother discovered that the only way you get the glow is by putting the globe in the light. Oh, I wish I could preach it like I feel it. See, before the globe can shine in the darkness, it has to spend some time in the light. God. And y'all, that's all I'm trying to get you to see, child of God. Is I want you to watch this. On this promotion day, I want you to make God known and I want you to shine for him. And the way that happens is you got to spend time with God. Just a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about your troubles. Spend a little time with God. When you seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, all of this stuff is added unto you. So is there a witness in the house? That's, you know what, Pastor Brown, I'm going to give God 30 days. I'm going to test him for 30 days. And I'm going to see if I spend time in his word. If I make up my mind that I'm going to live for God, if I make room for God in every area in my life, and if I'm willing to make him known, 30 days, Pastor Brown, 30 days I'm going to commit starting right now. And I'm going to see what the Lord does in my, I'm talking to young people specifically, but everybody in general, 30 days I'm going to test him. And I'm going to see if he changes my attitude. 30 days to see if he changes my appetite. 30 days to see. If he changes my behavior, changes my behavior. So you're getting ready to go back to school in about 30 days. Got about 30 days. So when you go back to school, I want you to walk on that campus having been promoted, having been elevated. When you get back to school, I want people to say, you know, Steve, there's something a little different about you, man. And you let them know, I've been promoted. And then you let them know that they can be promoted too. Give God a hand of praise. We're finished. Come on, give God some praise. Hallelujah. Come on, come on. Y'all stand up with me. Give God some praise. Stand up with me right where you are. Keep praising him. Keep praising him. Come on, keep praising him. Keep praising him. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Put them together, put them together, put them together, put them together. I want to pray before anyone moves. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you so much. Yeah. For the word on today. Thank you for the example of these young men. Thank you for their willingness to be counterculture. Thank you for Daniel's sensitivity to you, Lord.
and how he was unwilling to compromise his body just to get along with everybody else. And Father, he didn't do it arrogantly. He didn't do it forcefully, but it was in humility. And Lord, you honored it. You gave him favor. So Father, I pray for these young people under the sound of my voice. The enemy is telling them, oh, Pastor, I don't know what he's talking about. He's disconnected. He don't know. Father, please, please whisper to them that he knows. Please help them to see that Pastor Brown knows full well. And he wants them to really experience promotion day. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray the next 30 days will be sort of a purging, sort of a revival, a recommitment, a renewal. I pray that these young people would spend a little time reading the book of Daniel and see the other episodes that these young men endured. Father, I pray that parents and children would come together during this season so that we can really be prepared for back to school. It's not just about getting a backpack, getting some clothing. Father, it's about being prepared spiritually for what will confront them on campus. So we commit all this to you by faith, loving you, trusting you, honoring you. We submit this prayer by faith in the name of Jesus. Let everybody say amen. Come on, one more hand of praise.